May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you permit the President of the Senate just a couple of personal remarks before sharing with you the Word of God? Would anybody object? First of all, I greet you on behalf of your brothers and sisters in Christ in different parts of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. As you probably are aware, there are some 2.5 million folks who call themselves congregational members and pastors and teachers of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And as you probably also are aware, those folks are gathered in 6,160 or so congregations around the great United States of America. As you probably also know, we are in partnership, altar and pulpit fellowship relationship with 29 other Lutheran bodies around the world. Many of them in parts of the world where this kind of a gathering, in this kind of a place, with this kind of an organ, and this kind of an assembly, is maybe not even a dream. We are truly blessed as a church body. And it's on behalf of that church body and all the boards and commissions and organizations and institutions and entities and auxiliaries and corporate entities that I greet you this day. It's a privilege and pleasure to be on the campus. Just one more personal word. I just arrived on Continental Airlines and I couldn't help but overhear a man who went to the ticket counter just before we departed and wanted to exchange his ticket for an aisle seat. The attendant said, "No problem. All of the seats on this airplane are aisle seats." Think about it. Well, the Word of God I would like to share with you today is written in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. Particularly these words, beginning with verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them, that's Jesus and the Sadducees, debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," Jesus answered, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. This is an intriguing section of Scripture for many, many reasons. You know the context in which this Scripture is written? It starts a few verses earlier, actually in verse 18, with a dialogue between the Sadducees and Jesus. You recognize the Sadducees, of course, as that quasi-political religious group that did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They simply believe once a person dies, that person is dead, never again to come back to life. And they, like other people in the life of Jesus, were constantly trying to ask questions of Jesus for the clear and specific purpose of tricking and trapping Jesus into giving the wrong answer. In this particular dialogue, The Sadducees come to Jesus and they say, I have a question here. And they describe the law of Moses whereby when a woman marries a man, if the two of them have no children and the man dies, the woman is obligated to marry this man's brother. And if they have no children and this man dies, she is obligated to marry another brother. In this particular question, there were seven brothers. Each of them died. There were no children. And then their question, the Sadducees' question of Jesus, is this. At the resurrection, and of course we know that they don't believe in the resurrection. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus, knowing exactly what was in their hearts, replied in these words, Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Now, about the dead rising, we read parenthetically between the lines, since you brought up the subject, dear Sadducees. About the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the burning bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And then he simply said to the Sadducees, you are badly mistaken about not believing in the resurrection of the dead. Well, it's on the heels of that dialogue between the Sadducees and Jesus that this teacher of the law asked Jesus, which is the most important commandment of all, not just the 10, which we know as the moral law, but all of those commandments of the Old Testament. And Jesus answers with an answer that warms our heart and pricks our conscience. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Anybody here want to raise a hand and say, that's me. All day, every day. It's you and me, Lord. I think about the times when my life, my thoughts, my words, my deeds reflect anything but total, complete love with all my being for the God of the universe who created, who redeemed, and who sanctifies us through his word and through his son. And the second commandment, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Anybody in the crowd want to raise his hand or her hand and say, that's me. All day, every day, I love my neighbor just as much as I love myself. Excuse me. Are there not moments when you and I struggle even to love those closest to us as much as we love ourselves? It is because of that sin within us, that old Adam in us, that we cannot do what Jesus lifted up as the greatest of the commandments. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is the truth of the gospel that only by God's grace, only because of the suffering and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, only because of his promise made real that our sin is removed from us as far as the east is from the west, only as the Spirit moves in us and works in us, in our lives and in our hearts, through his precious word and through the sacraments, only fortified and strengthened with those precious means of receiving God's grace, are we ever able, in response to God's love, to worship him in spirit and in truth, to honor, to uphold, to love him with our mind, our soul, our strength, our being. And only in response to those same wonderful means of receiving His grace are we ever able to come close to expressing the kind of love that God, through Jesus, speaks about in this passage for our neighbor. I want to express my appreciation to each one of you, particularly to those 20-some students who were specifically involved in a tangible way on behalf of the entire seminary community and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod a few weeks ago in going down to the Gulf Coast to be of great assistance to the folks whose lives had been incredibly affected by Hurricane Katrina. And I understand that there's a possibility that that might be replicated sometime during the Thanksgiving holidays. I am so thankful for the way in which the people of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the pastors of our synod, the deaconesses, teachers, directors of Christian education and outreach have responded to the great human need, not only among our own congregations, but in the communities in that part of the country that have been incredibly affected by those powerful, powerful storms. I pray that in your life of preparation for the pastoral ministry, preparation for the office of deaconess, and in your lives, I see some folks here that probably are not preparing to be pastors or deaconesses. Is that a correct assumption? That's a presumption. Is that accurate? In your lives, and in your lives, professors and faculty and staff, of continued service to the Lord and to His church, that you will be filled with the grace, the mercy, and the peace of our great God who loves us and gave His Son that we might have life that never ends. For it is by God's grace that we receive what we do not deserve in any way, shape, or form. His wonderful love and forgiveness and the promise of eternal life with Him someday in heaven. It's by God's mercy that we do not receive that which we do deserve, His wrath and displeasure. And it's in the wonderful gift of God's peace that His grace and His mercy become real in our lives of worship and of service as we worship the Lord our God. And as we love our neighbor. May God grant that. For Jesus' sake, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.